Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we're off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz taking you around the NFL, bringing you up to date on the latest news and notes. A very quiet day surrounding the offseason narrative, but there is a storyline, George. It does surround Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Came out yesterday and said he didn't know who was putting out a false narrative about him wanting to leave Baltimore. He put out a statement on Twitter that said, "I love my Ravens. I don't know who the hell is putting out that false narrative of I'm having thoughts about leaving. Stop trying to read my mind." So this came a day after their owner said that it was very difficult to maybe sign Lamar Jackson. The ball is in his court. He has to step up and really sign the extension. They'd welcome him with open arms. But any thoughts about maybe Lamar moving on from the Ravens this season?
Yeah, this also came over the weekend. We heard that, I don't know if it was the owner or a GM, I forget which one, came out and said that the ball's in Lamar's court as far as a contract extension is concerned, as far as they have a long-term deal, gazillion dollars, that they want to get it done, but they've asked Lamar, but how many times can you ask the guy, and you know, he doesn't want to get it done yet. So for whatever reason, Lamar is waiting. I think that this is where this comes from, because why is he waiting? Why isn't he going for the big, you know, let's sign a six-year, you know, $300 million contract, whatever it's going to be for him? And I think it's a fair question to ask. Why? Why are you? I understand. Will you make more money by waiting? Sure. The longer you wait, the price keeps going up here. But at some point, how much do you need to make? How much do you want to make? You know, that's your plan here. Either way, you're going to get paid more money than you're ever going to spend. We won't be close here. So why? I think that's where this narrative is coming from. Well, yeah, if he's not willing to sign the big contract, Joe, then he must want to go someplace else.
Right. Well, the GM, Eric DaCosta, came out and said, you can't keep calling him and saying, hey, Lamar, you really need to get in here and get this thing done. So that was from the GM, okay? So, you know, and this came out on NFL.com. And we talked about it yesterday in terms of the backup quarterback situation with Tyler Huntley, right? The kid put up some numbers, put the team in a position to be competitive in a number of different games. It was competitive against the road game against Cleveland where they trailed 26-3. That was the game that Lamar did get hurt in, injured the knee slightly. Huntley comes in, covers the 2.5-point number. They lose that ball game 26-24. He almost pulls off an upset at Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. They trail for 2 touchdowns in the second half and a 2-point conversion away from pulling that ball game out. So, you know, if they did have to make a move, let's just say, I mean, worst case scenario, I think Baltimore can maybe get by. Now, I don't think they'd be as lethal or as explosive with Lamar Jackson at the helm, but they can move on. If let's say both sides are just, you know, fed up and Lamar just say has his eyes on a different ball club or a different franchise if he's not going to come to the table.
Well, are we assuming Lamar's telling the truth, that he loves the Ravens? All right, he's telling the truth, then we don't have to worry about him. He'll sign, just why hasn't he signed yet? That's the question here. Assuming he's telling the truth. All right, it's a big assumption. We know players, agents, you know, they're all going to do that different thing here. He's not going anywhere. Because let's face it, if he won't sign, Baltimore's likely to play the same game with Lamar. Dallas played with Dak. You know, and they'll franchise him. Let Washington play with Kirk Cousins. All right, they'll franchise him. So he's not going anywhere. That's why this is strange. Something's wrong here. Because it doesn't make sense for them not to want to sign this contract. It doesn't make any sense. I understand why Baltimore's like, you know, hey, we've done all we can do here. We keep asking him. He doesn't want to come in. You know, I understand that. But why? That's why I can't wrap my head around it. Why? What are you looking for? What do you think is your advantage here of not getting it? You know, I don't understand it. I don't get it. So he's only signed through this year, right? So yeah, this should have been done this offseason, theoretically. You know, it's not like Baltimore's waiting. Oh, we want to wait one more. We want to see you come out and play, make sure you're healthy. No, they don't want to wait. That they want. Are they lowballing him? Is that what's going on here? And could be, but I don't get that feeling here. I don't think any contract offers have been extended yet. So it's just strange to me. Technically, he is a UFA next season, but we know that's not going to happen. There's no way they let him go. Oh, yeah, good. Nice knowing you. We'll see you later. No, they'll franchise him. So that's why this makes no sense. He's stuck with them likely, definitely for this year and next year. And they'll probably do it. They'd probably franchise him a second year if they had to. So he's still stuck with his team for three more years. Strange situation.
Well, think about this in terms of the elite quarterbacks, okay? Let me just go through the Super Bowl betting odds and just give you an idea where he sits. Buffalo with Josh Allen, number one. Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, number two. Pat Mahomes, Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert. You have Trey Lance, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson. And then here comes Lamar Jackson. So you think it's about being, you know, one of the most lethal and explosive playmakers in the game, but not being considered amongst the best quarterbacks maybe in the league, not just from the book standpoint, but maybe the public perception as well, just the way Tyreek Hill said he wants his money. He feels that Devontae Adams got his deal. He wanted to be compensated the same type of way or the same type of package. And that's where Kansas City said, bye-bye.
Yeah, well, that's apples and oranges. I assume Lamar does want his money, but he's not asking for it. He's not asking for his money. That's what this is strange. It's not like he's asked for, let's just say for giggles, I want $50 million a season, and Baltimore says no. We haven't heard that. Yes, that's why this is a weird situation. Well, if you want your money, go and get it.
We'll see what transpires when George and I return. We'll dive into some NFL draft talk, also some of the other AFC and NFC odds. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To football full circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, breaking down all things NFL. Left off talking about Lamar Jackson and the situation in Baltimore. The GM, the owner say, hey, Lamar, the money's yours. All you got to do is step up and sign on the dotted line. Lamar Jackson said that he's not trying to, you know, breed a false narrative. He loves the Baltimore Ravens, yet he hasn't come to the table. So we'll see how that situation plays out. You have thoughts about Lamar Jackson or any one of the top 32 teams in the NFL, give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. George, turn our attention to the NFL draft. FanDuel has done a fantastic job in terms of putting up more and more odds. Draft less than 30 days away takes place in Las Vegas, April 28th. That's a Thursday. But they did put up odds for one of the top quarterbacks in the draft, Liberty quarterback Malik Willis, in terms of where he would go to some potential teams. And I don't know if you saw this, but I'll give you the first six on the board here. It is the Carolina Panthers and Matt Rhule. And we spoke at length yesterday about Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers. What's the backup plan? They said that they would welcome Cam Newton. They're the front runners right now on FanDuel at plus 250, followed by Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin that were in attendance at Malik's Pro Day. They're plus 350. Shocker here in terms of Atlanta has Mariota, but they're plus 450, third in line, followed by Seattle at 450, and then Detroit at 5-1. They have the second overall pick in the draft behind Jacksonville, and then the Houston Texans at 12-1. anybody jump off the page? I mean, do you really feel that Carolina at six overall is going to pull the trigger on Malik Willis here?
I don't know if it'll be. Listen, we don't know which quarterback they truly like more as far as the top three. But do I think they really will? I think there's a shot. So I don't think this is out there. I don't. They need a quarterback. You and I went over this yesterday, right? I mean, they need a quarterback, man. Music stop. They don't have a chair. They can't win. Rule is done. We all know this. Rule is done if they don't have, I would think, at least a winning season, at least a 9-8 season, right? He's done. And it's, well, you're not going to do that with Sam Darnold. I understand the division's weak, right? Atlanta had, you know, theoretically Mariota, yay. New Orleans, okay, decent squad there. They're better than you. Tampa Bay, we know, is better than you. So you have a rough time in your own division here, more or less. The other teams you're playing here. And, you know, you look at the Carolina Panthers. This is not a bad team as far as the Pistons other than quarterback. Yeah, we can go on and on about whether or not Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy. But when he's healthy, he's one of the best, right? If not the best running back in football. We're guessing how many games he's going to play here. He's going to have another, you know, hamstring, another calf injury, whatever it might be. But they're still one of the better teams when he's there. Receiving corps seems to be solid, not great, but solid. And we know in this draft, maybe, you know, obviously you're not going to take it in the first round. You can find receivers in the second round, third round. It is going to be that deep, so you could supplement your team that way if you need to. But DJ Moore, yeah, Robbie Anderson took a step back. Higgins, Terrace Marshall, it's okay. You're bringing Ian Thomas back, a tight end. All right, that's, you know, you got some issues there. The offensive line is solid. You know, it's not great, but it's solid. And the defense can be good. Yeah, they need a pass rusher here, which is why a lot of people have them taking a pass rusher at six. But they probably need that quarterback more. The secondary could be good. It could be good. J.C. Horn, right? Maybe he missed most of last year with the injury. You traded for C.J. Henderson. Get him back on task. That Jeremy Chin. You still got Dante Jackson, Xavier Woods. Secondary's good. So I don't think this team is that far away. I think this is Joe, in my mind, this is the definition of a team that without a quarterback, you just can't be very good. You just can't do it. That's why they need a quarterback desperately.
There are a couple of teams on the list outside the top six that I can't believe the books have them so high, and I'll go through them right now. You mentioned New Orleans. They sign Jameis Winston, right? They sign Andy Dalton, okay? So now you have two quarterbacks. They move Taysom Hill to a hybrid type of tight end position, and FanDuel has them at 20-1, which is shocking, ahead of the Washington Commanders at 20-1 right there. But then the two teams before them, after the Houston Texans, George, New York Giants at 14-1, and their rival, the Eagles, at 14-1. Now, I thought the Eagles, you know, made the playoffs. I thought they were buying into Jalen Hurts in terms of their quarterback for the future, at least for the next couple of years, right? You need to give them weapons more so than drafting Malik Willis in the first round. Now, I know you have three first-round selections, but at the end of the day, at least Jalen Hurts took you to a wild card. What are you expecting out of Malik Willis? Are you holding Malik Willis that much higher than where you had Jalen Hurts a couple of years ago? I mean, I just don't buy it. And then the New York Giants, if that's the case, if the Giants are that hell-bent on Malik Willis in terms of one of the two top 10 picks, well, then you should have rolled the dice with Russell Wilson. How many more times can I say it? I mean, I just don't understand if that's the mindset of the new GM and Brian Daboll. What were you thinking?
I agree with you on all those talks there. I'm with you there. I'm surprised that Washington is so far down. The biggest thing for me is Washington being so far down. I don't think they – I mean, Wentz is pretty much on a one-year tryout here. Yeah, you know, with his contract, that's pretty much what he is—a one-year tryout. And wouldn't it make sense, brother, if you draft one of these younger quarterbacks, Pickett, Willis, Corral, whatever it might be? Well, you got a veteran to start out above him. You got a redshirt year. Then the one that would make some sense here. If things aren't working out, you start that quarterback in the second half of the season, or the last four or six games, whatever it might be. So I think that would make some sense here. I completely agree with you about the Giants. We've discussed this ad nauseum, right? I mean, if you're going to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback, then you should have traded for Russell Wilson. But I don't think they're going to trade. I don't think they're going to draft the quarterback in the first round. Right now, I think at five, they're looking for an offensive lineman. You know, if that's Evan Neal, fine, we're going to take him. You know, at seven, I think they're going to go defensive line. And I think they're going to build up through the trenches, the Giants. Maybe a wide receiver, but I doubt it. I think they think they're okay at wide receiver for now. Yeah, that's not a position of strength, but we're okay. You know, so that we won't go that direction. But I think that's what the Giants are doing. I'd be shocked if the Giants take a quarterback at 5 or 7. I just don't see it. I think if they were to take a quarterback, if you look at the Giants take a quarterback, I think you're looking at a trade down. The Giants would trade, you know, from 7 to 12, whatever it might be. You know, and then they would take a quarterback then. But I don't think they're going to do that. We're not hearing any of that noise here in New York with the Giants taking a QB. They've been pretty, you know, listen, I'm the first person to tell you, when can you tell a coach is lying or a GM is lying? When their lips move. All right, they lie all the time, but it's been pretty consistent that they're going to stick with Daniel Jones, that they still believe in Daniel Jones for whatever reason. You laugh about that's all you want, and I do, but they believe. That's all that matters, that they believe. So I think they're going to stick there, too. I don't think they'll go in that direction. I don't think the Wolins taking a quarterback at all, not this year. Jameis signed a 2-year deal. Well, I think they're going to ride with Jameis.
Well, you see, and this is like the how these markets are sort of, you know, priced, because that's Malik Willis. So the Giants are 14-1 in the market for Malik Willis, okay? When you look at the Giants for Kenny Pickett, they're not even on the board, George. So that's the Giants are linked to Malik Willis at 14-1 on FanDuel. Kenny Pickett has Carolina, Seattle, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Washington at 10-1. Indy at 20-1, the Eagles at 25-1, Texans at 30, and Detroit at 50. The Giants aren't even mentioned in the Kenny Pickett stakes. So you tell me, there's got to be some truth to the fact that the Giants might be interested in Malik Willis if they're priced at 14-1.
I don't know where it's coming from. We're not hearing any of it. You know, any of it. I don't think I've ever seen him mocked to the Giants by any of these guys. Right, I don't think I've seen that at all. You know, the latest mock I'm looking at right now is from Tannenbaum, the extra Jets GM from ESPN. He has Carolina taking Pickett at 6, Pittsburgh taking Willis at 20, and Detroit taking Corral at 32.
Corral's the most NFL ready. I said it before. If you're Carolina, Matt Rhule, and you need to win now, you draft Matt Corral from Ole Miss. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other drafts in the NFL draft coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, continuing the conversation, we were breaking down where Kenny Pickett and potentially Malik Willis would go on FanDuel, and the conversation came up in regards to the New York Giants. Giants with 2 top 10 picks, they're linked more to Malik Willis than they are Kenny Pickett. At 14-1, they're not even on the board for Kenny Pickett. Carolina, the inside track, after they came out and said, we want old man Cam Newton back on the roster. At least we would welcome him. We had a huge debate about that yesterday in regards to the Carolina Panthers and where Matt Rhule goes. But let's bring in our great producer, Andrew Torres, get his take on whether he likes Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett. And more importantly, Andrew, can you see the Giants maybe drafting one of these guys or even maybe Matt Corral later in the draft in the first round?
If you talk about the New York Giants, towards the end of Eli Manning's career, you could tell, like, at least from my perspective, they really weren't sure what they were going to do as far as get the quarterback. And then, you know, they drafted Daniel Jones, which, you know, pissed off a lot of Giants fans and New York fans. And it, you know, since then, they really haven't made any solid decisions. But I would kind of agree with what George was talking about. And George, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I heard you say you think that they're going to stick with Daniel Jones. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think they're going to stick with Daniel Jones for at least one more year, then make the decision. I don't know why, but
I don't know why either, but I think the indecisiveness of the Giants has shown over the last number of years, especially since Eli Manning's retired, so I don't expect anything like that to really change. And, you know, I think because they invested such a high draft pick in him, they're really, really hoping and believing that he is going to turn into something. It's just, it looks like right now he's not, and that's just the situation that they're in.
Well, let me just add to this. Daniel Jones sucks, okay? He sucked at Duke, and he sucks in the NFL at the end of the day. And you know, everybody says, oh, Danny Dimes was a good quarterback. He had a great Senior Bowl for Dave Gettleman and the crew. He threw 22 touchdown passes in his college career the last year in Durham with Cutcliffe at the helm, okay? Five came in the bowl game against Temple. The other four came against Pittsburgh. So that's nine. The rest of the 10 games, he only threw basically 12 touchdown passes. So you do the math and figure out how effective Daniel Jones was against ACC competition coming out of college. I'm not going to bash him any more than that. But at the end of the day, then why? Here's what I'm totally confused about. You have a new GM. You have Brian Daboll. You have every opportunity to start fresh. They came out right from the get-go and said, we're committed to Daniel Jones because the ownership and the Maras wanted Danny Dimes there. They invested in him, and they want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But now, you're telling me now you're going to draft Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett as opposed to really putting your chips all into the middle of the table and saying, we're going to change this franchise. And a report came out today, guys, and said that, you know, in terms of potential 14 offseason moves came out on CBS that, you know, we could still have maybe a ripple effect. DK Metcalf could be on the move. Christian McCaffrey could be on the move. They even listed Saquon Barkley, but nobody wanted him because they wouldn't buck up and give any value, a number one or a number two. So what are they doing, George, in terms of this mindset? Where is the philosophy from an offensive perspective now?
I think Andrew used the key word there, indecisiveness. And I think that's part of it. I think the Giants are also a little afraid. And when I say they're afraid, I mean they're afraid with Daniel Jones of letting him go, letting him move on, and then he does turn into something. You know, I don't know. Listen, we can joke all we want about why they'd be afraid of that. What you're showing to be that makes it that's going to happen. But I think that's part of it here, that they're afraid. I do wonder if one of the big reasons that DeBoer got the job is that he'd be willing to deal with Jones at least one more year. Because once again, the Mariners don't want to give up on Jones for whatever reason. It's weird because theoretically, Gettleman made that pick. He's gone. So you don't owe him. I mean, it's like, oh my God, the GM was forcing you to stick him. Were the Mariners in on that pick too? So they don't want to be embarrassed by Jones? I wouldn't think so. You blame it on Gettleman. He's gone, so you're good. So I don't know why they feel they need to give it one more year. I have a conspiracy theory, and that would be, well, the Giants know they're going to be terrible this year. All right, that once again, they're going to be a top 10 pick next year. So, hey, maybe next year's a much better year for quarterbacks. You would know more about that than I. So maybe that's what they're hoping for here. We'll take our lineman here. We'll take our whatever it might be, our safety. And next year, because we're going to be terrible again, next year we'll get our quarterback because that's when the guys are coming out that we can really build our future around, not the top three that are coming out this year.
Okay, understood. But let me ask you this then, okay? If I'm Brian Daboll and I'm Shine, the new GM, right? And I'm sitting there, and let's say they do draft Malik Willis or even Kenny Pickett. What does that say to Daniel Jones in terms of his confidence for this year? Now you're just throwing this year away. Right? Because now Daniel Jones is looking over the rearview mirror at whoever you draft, just the way Jimmy Garoppolo was doing Trey Lance. The difference is that at least Jimmy Garoppolo took his team to a Super Bowl a few years ago when they did that. So he was playing with a chip on his shoulder. And if you're worried about, let's say, Daniel Jones moving on to another team and him being good, well, all you have to do is look to the New York Jets and look at how bad Sam Darnold did last year for the Carolina Panthers.
Listen, I agree. It doesn't matter. If you're moving, Daniel Jones isn't working for you. All right, if he goes to, well, you know, whatever, Chicago, and he's good for them, hey, guess what? Nothing you can do about that. Maybe you play better in that system for whatever reason, or you need to get out of New York. I mean, a million reasons why he's better in one place than the other. It doesn't mean he would have been good off. He would have stuck with them for one more year. He'd have been good with us. Doesn't mean that. Listen, he's not working out here. That's all that matters there. So I would agree. I really probably thought it's time to move on before last season started. You know, this year, I certainly think it's time to move on. But I want to think they have a plan here that we just don't know what it is. I said, I'm just throwing out theories. I said, maybe they think next year is the quarterback draft. Or next year there's some free agent they want to go after hard. And they're going to eat it with Daniel Jones. Because even if we added, they may be thinking, even if we added Russell Wilson, all right, he thinks it's better, but we're not a Super Bowl contender. So why bother? You know, so we'll wait for the younger that we can build up in a couple of years. Do I agree with it? No. You know, and I don't even know if that's truly the real what they're thinking here. Maybe they're just idiots. And they truly think that Daniel Jones can be the guy. You know, you got to keep going with him. But it's, I don't think you're going to find out enough this year, Joe, and then you got to make a decision on his contract. Which is why it's nuts to me. Move on, cut bait, find someone new.
All right, well, let's talk to Andrew. Andrew, I'm going to put you in the driver's seat. You're Brian Daboll. You have two top 10 picks. You're the head coach. You have autonomy. You could take whoever you want in this upcoming draft. Are you taking any of the quarterbacks with one of the picks? Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett? Are you taking defense, offensive line? You lose Evan Ingram. Okay, which was stone hands anyway. That actually is a benefit. He actually, by cutting Evan Ingram or actually moving him on, right, in terms of that situation, you actually probably added two wins to the Giants season this year. But what are you doing with your two picks? You don't have to give specific players, but tell me a need if you're the New York Giants and you can make it no matter what happens. You have complete control.
I would get a receiver, and I'm up in the air between getting. It's hard because you see the potential. Like, you've seen what Saquon Barkley can do by what he's done in the past. Yeah, either that or the offensive line, because you need to start investing in the future. And whether Daniel Jones works out or, you know, Saquon Barkley works out, like, offensive line is something that. It gives you a lot of options to move forward with an offense, because if your offensive line is good, then it affects the passing game and it affects the running game. So it affects things down the future. So I'd be more looking towards that, like, long-term future with an offensive lineman and a receiver, you know, but the quarterback and running back situations with the Giants is really, really up in the air. So I don't think we're really going to see any answers to the question of who they're going to get until it actually happens at the end of April.
Well, let me bring this and add this to the perspective as well. Now, I don't know if you heard, after we were off air yesterday, guys, Jabril Peppers most likely is going to sign a deal with Bill Belichick in New England. So it's almost like that Devin... Right, so that Devin McCourty, Jason McCourty type of veteran in the secondary. So you lose Jabril Peppers, okay, in terms of that. There's been talk as well as James Bradbury being potentially on the move and dealt prior to the NFL draft. So there's another key piece to that secondary that the Giants either, one, have to make up with the draft picks or try to make up in terms of cultivating the young talent that's on the roster. So basically, if that's what you're doing, and they're plus 650 right now on FanDuel to win the division, as bad as this division is, with your Dallas Cowboys and Dak being the front runners, George. I mean, you tell me, you're basically two of your best players from defense last year in the secondary aren't going to be on your team anymore. So really, if that's the mindset, you're telling me what, you're going to keep Daniel Jones?
Listen, I agree. I certainly agree with you. As far as the Giants, I would be floored, drop dead, shocked if they don't take an offensive lineman at five. I don't see how they're passing an offensive lineman. This team needs protection. And by the way, an offensive lineman would help Barkley, would help Daniel Jones. Right? They need to take that. So I think they're taking Evan Neal's there. Great, you grab him. Right? It's an easy choice there if he's there at five. This is where I'm going. I'm taking, Ekwonu. I can't pronounce this game.
Yeah, you
go. I can't pronounce this guy's name. Ekwonu. Right. If he's there, fine. If Neil's, I would take Neal first, but if Ekwonu's there, fine. I'm taking him. I think the pick at seven is where it gets interesting. You know, in my mind, I like to see him go for a pass rusher because I think that helps as well here. But, I mean, I don't think Saucy's going to fall that far, Gardner, so I don't think that's going to happen. Right? Where you're going to be able to take him. Kyle Hamilton? Sure, I would take him if he's there as well.
That's a typical New York Giant move. They had Love a few years ago from the Notre Dame secondary. When we come back, we'll break down the NFL draft. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, heated debate about the NFL draft and whether the New York Giants potentially go in the route of a quarterback, whether it be Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, or even Kyle Hamilton, that could potentially be out there from the losses of Bradbury, who should be on the move, and Jabril Peppers that signed with the New England Patriots. You want to give us your take on the draft, your favorite team? Give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. I'll pose it to Andrew first, George. They do have on FanDuel as well positions in terms of where some players will be drafted. So under or over, Andrew, in terms of Kyle Hamilton, the star safety, coming off an ACL injury this year, but one of the best defensive players in the draft, under and over is 8.5. Minus 158 to the over, okay? Now, that means 9 or more for Kyle Hamilton. You want to take a shot on 8 or less? He's plus 118. J.C. Horn, I believe, was 7, right, George, to the Panthers last year? It was right in the area, 7 or 8.
He was right there, right? Because I know he's I don't want to say stone for the Cowboys, but the Cowboys were looking at him, and he went before Dallas. Is a little bit of a surprise there. I think I want to say 8, and then Denver was 9 when they took Surtain.
Right. So Andrew, you're pulling the trigger on under or over for Kyle Hamilton?
I think it's hard to say. I'd probably go with the over. But it's one of those things. It's hard to judge players when they're coming off of injuries, especially, you know, an ACL tear is not as bad as it used to be considered and stuff like in baseball or, you know, football, especially contact sports. If you had an ACL tear or damage to your knee, it basically meant your career was done. But, you know, Adrian Peterson a number of years ago proved everybody wrong with that. And we'll see what happens with this, but I'd be interested to see like how he does playing in the NFL, you know, coming off of such a serious injury. But I think time will tell for sure.
Yeah, you know who else defied the ACL injury, guys? Willis McGahee with Buffalo in the national championship game of 2002 against Ohio State. Still drafted, I believe, 21st by the Buffalo Bills. Had a very underrated career. Good career with Buffalo, and then when he went to the Ravens, he was a good player in terms of the ACL. Not as dynamic, obviously, as he was in Coral Gables back in the day, but still one of the better players in the AFC. Let's go to Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end from Oregon, George. I'll pose this question because I have a strong opinion on this. Now, he's about 6'5", 235 pounds. We hear about Aiden Hutchinson being taken first overall. He's starting to slip. Trayvon Walker, the defensive standout from Georgia, now is making a move. But Thibodeau is 5.5. Over is minus 180. Under is plus 134. Now, if this was a couple of years ago, 2020, okay, he would probably be the first overall pick, or even last year, for that matter, okay, because of his size and the intangibles. But because he didn't step up in two games against Utah, right, and was basically a non-factor and is looked at as a me type of guy, he's starting to slip. He compared himself to Jadeveon Clowney. I hate to tell him, I think he's drinking. Clowney had a better overall college career than this kid did. But you know how these GMs reach up in terms of size and intangibles. Can you see Thibodeau going in the first 5 overall?
See, this is the problem with the draft being pretty much 4 months after the college season ends. These guys are like yo-yos, right? Up, down. Oh, we like it. No, we don't like it. They have so much time to look at these guys. Look at the tape. That when you fall in love one day, oh, no, we didn't like what we see here. Then you hate them the next day. They go up and down over and over again here. Pass rusher. I mean, this is not a heavy, it's not a good quarterback draft at all here. Which leaves a lot of those open slots. I'm going under. I think he's going to be taking top 5. I do. So I think he goes top 5. You need a pass rusher. If you're not taking the quarterback, which is not going to happen in this draft, there's no running backs. Wide receiver's going to go a little later here. Pass rusher is next. Under 5.
And I'll give you a pick. If Houston decides not to go quarterback or offensive line to protect Davis Mills, let's not forget they lost J.J. Watt. He was at the end of his career. Granted, they moved him to Arizona. But to have that type of potential in terms of the defensive end position, new coach, defensive-minded coach in Lovie Smith, Not bad in terms of Thibodeau. Maybe he feels he can get the most out of him. And when you look at it, 6'5", 235 pounds, long wingspan, I think he's a potential great fit for the Houston Texans, assuming they don't trade out of that spot. All right? Now, let's go to the next guy, nose tackle. Defensive tackle Jordan Davis from Georgia, because if you've listened to the show and you've watched me or listened to me on the network, I said this is the best overall pick in terms of the NFL draft this year. Top 10 selection. He's a top 5 selection, in my opinion. A game changer when you think about the size and speed. 6'6", 341, not 241, 341, and he runs a 4.7240. Okay, under and over on Jordan Davis. I can't believe this is 13.5. Juice to the over at minus 148, plus 112 to the under. George, I'm going to tell you this right now. We talk about Aaron Donald and how dominant he is, okay? Well, if that's the case, if you have an opportunity to get a run stuffer, okay, and stop players like Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry within the AFC, okay? I want Jordan Davis. He's a behemoth. He could force double teams. He could allow those linebackers to fill running lanes. And on top of it, he can get a presence and a push up the middle. He's a top 10 selection. I'm going under 13.5, but I'll take it a step further. Top 10 at plus 250 is a no-brainer. This is the best defensive player in this draft.
I agree with everything you just said. But he's going over 13. Let me tell you why. Listen, I love the player. And I would love for the Cowboys to get him at 24. You know, because I think it's the player they need. Yeah, stuff that run. I think he'd be great at it. I think he's a Ndamukong Suh type of player, that kind of guy. So I like Jordan Davis a whole bunch here. But I think what's going to happen here, what's going to hurt him, is that he doesn't play the premier position, pass rush. Even though he can get one from the middle, I get it. But he doesn't play that premier pass rush position. That's going to slow him down. We're talking at 13 now, so teams are going to be trading up for a quarterback or two. So that's going to go. Wide receivers start to go. All right, the offensive linemen, top offensive linemen go. Kyle Hamilton goes. It just pushes him down. It just pushes him down because he doesn't play that premium position. This is nothing against the player. Everything you said about Jordan Davis, he's sort of that guy that no one's talking about that I hope Dallas gets him as a Cowboy fan. You know, that kind of guy, that's who he is to me. Yeah, so I don't want him to be talked up. I just don't want him to be forced to. I think he could fall to the 20s because of that. That being said, I think he's one of the best players in the draft. I do. I agree with everything you just said, but because of the position, because of everybody else that's going to be going on there, and because I think some teams want to take the sexy pick, which would be the wide receivers there, I think he falls. I would go the over 13.5.
All right, well, that's a perfect segue because I did have the wide receivers on deck next, and it is shocking because we've heard about Garrett Wilson in terms of explosiveness, you know, catching the football at its highest point, best wide receiver with him and Chris Olave for C.J. Stroud and Ohio State. It is interesting because you look at the top 10 teams. We just mentioned the Giants with two top 10 picks that are in desperate need of playmakers on top of defensive help. They have Garrett Wilson, at 10.5, juiced slightly to the over at minus 114. Well, he's actually minus 114, either way. I was looking at him. But I want to compare him to Drake London, the hybrid wide receiver slash tight end out of USC. And he's juiced at 10.5 as well, minus 132 to the over, under at plus 100. I don't think there's any comparison. If we're talking, you know, specific playmakers, you would want to have that Tyreek Hill type of player over a hybrid type of tight end, no? I mean, Drake London's good. But, I mean, what are you trying to get, Travis Kelce in the first round? Even if you are getting Travis Kelce. Kelce was drafted third round overall by Cincinnati, coming out of Cincinnati. Drake London is nowhere near Garrett Wilson in terms of speed, athleticism. You have him pegged at the same notch as Garrett Wilson? Not even comparable.
Once again, I agree with you. I think wide receiver is going to be tough to judge as far as who goes where because – Now you're looking at, okay, who you think the best wide receiver is, but what is the team that's drafting this player looking for? The best route runner? The fastest guy? You mentioned Drake London as far as the quasi-tight end guy. Is that what they want here? I mean, does that mean he doesn't go to someone like Atlanta, who already has what should be a great tight end in Kyle Pitts? So we move him down now because of that. You know, so you're playing this old game. Who has the best hands? You know, who can blow the top off defenses? That sort of thing goes over and over again about what kind of wide receiver the team likes best, not maybe the best overall wide receiver. What is the team looking for here? I think tight ends are going to be wide receivers are going to be very tough to judge as far as who goes where, as far as playing this little game of taking over-runners on wide receivers. I don't think I'd want to play it, you know, because I just don't know what the team is looking for here. If I had to bet which team is going to take a wide receiver first, it's probably Atlanta at 8, assuming they don't take a quarterback. I think that's their only choice. Well, you're taking a quarterback because you don't trust Mariota, or you're definitely taking a wide receiver because you have, what, Zacchaeus, well, Hodge, Darby, yay.
Well, let's go through it, George, quick, right? If Detroit trades out of number 2, and let's just say they do trade with Atlanta, who, let's just say, values Malik Willis, and they want to reach up to grab him number 2. Well, now you have Detroit in the 8th slot. You have the Giants with 2 top 10s. They could use a wide receiver. Right? Who else is in the top 10? Houston. Now, we think maybe either defensive end or offensive lineman to protect Davis Mills, but they could certainly go offensive weapons. I mean, who does Houston have at the wide receiver position?
So, they could definitely use a wide receiver.
Right. So, at the end of the day, how could they have a 10.5 pegged on Garrett Wilson? That's what I don't understand. I would put it more like 8.5.
I think 10.5 is probably – so the only team in the top 10 right now – I don't see the Giants taking a wide receiver, by the way. Not with the moves they've made. You signed Galladay last year. You re-signed Shepard now. Maybe you have Tony there. I think they want him to play. So it's Galladay, Tony, Shepard is your top 3. I mean, I'm not saying it's good, by the way. I'm just saying the Giants have made these moves. You got Slayton as well. I think the Giants, if they're going to get a wide receiver, it won't be a first-round guy. It'll be a second or third-round guy. First round, they're going to look to fill other needs. So I don't see the Giants taking a wide receiver at all here. The Jets, I can see the Jets taking Garrett Wilson at 4, by the way. I can see that. You know, you need to help Zach Wilson, right? All right, and they have some weapons here. I get it, but they don't have a number 1. Corey Davis,
and they try to get Hill. They try to get Hill.
And they try to get – oh, that's fantastic, Joe. Fantastic. I think the Jets, I could see them doing that. Right, another weapon here. You got Braxton Berrios, sort of that, you know, jack of all trades there, but not a true wide receiver. And you told me, wouldn't Garrett Wilson look there? Wilson, Davis, Moore? That's pretty solid. You sell the tight end. You got Uzomah, Conklin. Maybe running back you can figure out later. Carter and Coleman are all right. But, you know, I kind of like that. I kind of like it.
That's not bad. Jets at 4. Would that be too high to take a wide receiver at 4? No, Kyle Pitts, right? I mean, technically a tight end listed. If you're going to take a tight end at 4, why not take the best wide receiver in Garrett Wilson? I mean,
I'd have no problem with the Jets doing this. No problem at all. It might be a little high as far as BPA. If you look at the best player available. Maybe he's not. Wilson's not the best player. Maybe it's one of the other guys, the offensive tackle. But I don't have. It's not a big reach. Either way, it's going a couple of picks later. I'd have no issue with this.
Yeah, Evan Neal also on the board in terms of 3.5 total, -182 to the over, +134 to the under. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, wrapping up today's show, we talked about the NFL draft, some teams. We're going to continue our conversation throughout the week, and we're going to dive into it heavy in the month of April as we inch a little bit closer. But they have a couple other players here, George, in terms of where their top 5 selections. They have Evan Neal, -300, Ekwonu, -300. They now have Trayvon Walker, the front runner, -450. Then Thibodeau at +125, Ahmad Sauce Gardner at +125. Not top 10, top 5. You buying into that?
I am on all the guys you mentioned. I think Neal, you can make it out, is the best player in the draft. No, you can take it at number 1 here. But I don't think he will go. I think that's going to be Hutchinson. Once again, pass rusher. You know, got to get to the quarterback. Man, got to get to the quarterback. I keep seeing Gardner fly off the boards. He was probably a month ago quasi top 10, and now I see him top 5 easy. I don't mind it here. Kyle Hamilton was seen going up the board here. I really love Evan Neal. I think this is what happens when we don't have a quarterback draft. You know, well, now we get a true BPA.
Well, let me ask you this, because Kenny Pickett, top 10, is plus 115. Would you take a flyer on that?
No, I am going after outside top 10. Unless, as I said, maybe Matt Rhule loves him for whatever reason, but no, I would have him outside of top 10.
All right. I love Jordan Davis at plus 250, trying to see who else maybe could be top 10.
Cowboys.
I'll tell you what. Stingley from LSU, a lockdown corner a couple of years ago, did not live up to expectations over the last couple of years. Once they won the national championship, it's like he was walking through the motions, not involved, not the same type of player. Did have some injuries as well, but plus 115, I think he's definitely a playmaker on the next level. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside coming up next. Have a great day, everyone.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.